Good afternoon from beautiful Madison, Wisconsin.
Actually, Packers are losing.
We're actually in Verona.
I like knew that.
Yep, close enough.
We're pretty much in Madison.
Dude,
we're about as much as Waukesha as Milwaukee.
Okay, if you were going to fly here, you would fly into the Madison airport. Therefore, this is Madison.
Is that in
Verona? That's how it works.
Whatever. Yeah.
Well, so is the entirety of Illinois named Midway?
Or you would fly into one of the Chicago airports.
Wow. They fly into Northeastern. Rockford.
Rockford has an airport, so if you flew into Rockford Airport, you'd be in Rockford.
But how far out of Chicago do you have to be where you stop calling it Chicago?
Oh, I'm pretty sure somewhere in the Pacific.
What? Unless you're from Chicago, and then you're not talking about Chicago, you're talking about the suburbs.
These rules also don't apply if you're in the area and talking to somebody else in the area, but I assume there are people that are listening to this that we don't know in person. So, we're close.
Nobody listens.
There was this girl I went to college with, and she's telling me about how she grew up.
To this podcast?
No, she doesn't.
You don't know that.
Okay, if you're listening to this if you're listening to this podcast, I'm going to out you as being from Milwaukee, not from Chicago, Sarah. But she said she was from Chicago. She was from the Milwaukee suburbs. Like,
that sounds like a threat.
Like, now, like when you say, is it like, at least like Schaumburg level, like south suburbs where it's towards Chicago, or was she from like Brookfield?
I think she was almost like from Waukesha area. Yeah.
So this brings up another thing. If we have any listeners who are cyberstalking Jake, please say something on the chat line while we're here.
And if you are cyberstalking me, I have rent to sell, so just let me know.
You're selling your fucking rent already?
I don't care. I got the money from it.
I'm still selling my rent. Like, I haven't not succeeded in selling my rent.
And I'm Dan.
Welcome to Crippled System, episode 213. My name is Andy, and I play a whole shit ton of Gilball and Kator.
Sorry, I'm parsing 213. I'm factorizing. Not factorizing. What's the word?
You're trying to figure out if...
No, but there's a word...
Foil?
No.
Determining the prime factorization?
Yeah, but factorizing... Is that a word then?
Yeah.
Oh, I accidentally said a word that existed.
Factoring is more correct.
So. Okay, there we go. Factoring is the word I meant, not factorizing. My name's Nathan, and I can't tell whether 213 is prime or not because fuck thought.
I'm Dan.
I'm Jake. I play Grimkin poorly.
It's true.
And I'm Dave, and I'm not sure what I play right now. Maybe it's Kator.
No! God damn it!
Yes. Ready?
To Kator because nobody else is playing Kator in this area. And then I started playing Kator, and then Dave's like, I'm going to get all the Kator now.
Okay, because of Andy's response, yes, I officially play Kator.
Oh, I'm going to stab somebody!
When Eco comes out, maybe I'll try Convergence again.
The Dolphin?
But no promises. No, that's Echo.
I always call them Eco.
It's ECHO. That's pronounced Echo.
ECO was his
ECO?
Name.
Yeah. No, he was Echo.
It was ECCO,
no,
it's
ECCO. Yeah, two C's. But he used echolocation to navigate.
This is getting weird.
Echo the Dolphin.
I don't know what that is.
It's a dolphin.
Getting. That's the wrong verb.
It's Eco.
Echo.
Eco.
He used, I remember Eco, commercials, Eco, and I think the commercials Eco. Called
Was this
Echo.
Like Free Willy?
No, it was Eco. For Sega, the Saturn and the Dreamcast, whatever.
Genesis era.
It was a Genesis era.
But it was a dolphin, and you'd swim around.
ECCO, yes.
Yeah, but find a commercial on YouTube so we can hear how it's pronounced. I guarantee it's Echo.
Eco. Eco.
Yeah, but is it like, do you have to like trail it off like you're doing Eco? You can't just say Eco?
Yeah.
Eco la. You play the parasite.
The
you have to go through all the systems, you know. First you're in the cow.
That's
the
E. coli.
Yeah, E. coli.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be an interesting game. Speaking of video games.
Nathan, obviously, 71 times 3. Duh.
Jesus. Nathan, speaking of video games, I got you a gift.
No.
I did.
Somebody. Speaking of video games, Matthew Compton got me a gift. He bought me Dead Cells.
Dead Cells.
I played a whole bunch of Dead Cells. I previously recommended it, but he gave it to me, and then I played a bunch, which is good timing because I just bought a controller to maybe call Chris Fuchs. Foyt? I don't know how you pronounce F-E-U-C-H-T.
Foyt.
He's got a dumb name. Foyt?
No, it's a very German name. It's Foyt.
Chris Foyt said that he almost bought me that one game that you play, but for PC... Destiny 2. He was going to buy it for the PC after our debate about keyboard and mouse versus controller. So I bought a controller in case he did it. I could play it on my computer with a controller.
Dan actually has a sent me a link that I forgot to put up on the Crippled System thing about controller
Yes, it's more for Brian than for you, but since Brian was complaining about how controllers feel like bananas, I found a link of someone who rewired 21 bananas to act as a PS4 controller.
That's amazing.
And was playing Destiny on the 21 bananas.
I saw a guy. It wasn't
Destiny. How did he even do that?
I've actually taken apart a controller and rewired it to other controls before. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we could do something like that. It would be fun.
But a banana?
Nathan, I got you a gift.
All you need is something that can close the circuit.
Why would we stop with
Andy
a banana?
Andy got me a gift. Oh, he got me a black mage magnet. He's very magnetic, so he's going to stay there for now because I'm terrified about pulling on it harder. I'm going to look up. I can't remember what game it was, but there's a guy who has the Guinness Book of World Records for beating a certain game the most number of times, or I'm sorry, with the most number of different control methods, because like he rigged up just a microphone and he would talk to it at like different volumes, or he did the Donkey Kong Congo bongos.
I think this might be the same guy.
I don't know if he did bananas then, but yeah.
Because this guy was talking about how he figured out how to do the bananas after rewiring his Donkey Kong Bongos controller to work with a PS4. So.
I had a ridiculously awesome adapter that I could take my PS2 controllers and play them on my GameCube.
It was Dark Souls.
Did he beat Dark Souls?
He beat Dark Souls with a guitar, with the every individual instrument from Rock Band, which includes drum kit, guitar, microphone. He beat Dark Souls. Fucking get good Dark Souls using these as inputs. The Donkey Kong bongos, perhaps bananas if it's the same guy. Yeah.
At that
point, wow.
At that
the point power glove. Oh no! Here it is. Future projects include a bunch of bananas.
At that point, you should just take up actual self-flagellation.
Because, yeah.
I mean, you're 99% of the way there.
The point is, he's beating Dark Souls with this shit, so people who can't beat Dark Souls with a controller really do need to get good.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's using bananas.
So, all of us.
I never understood the people giving up on Dark Souls. I never understood people giving up on Dark Souls, because it's really hard for, like, the first
two hours,
and then you make a little bit of headway, and it feels really good to, like, actually accomplish things, and then you get knocked back down, then you go back through it again, and it's fun that way.
And then you can always just drop your sign on the ground and wait until somebody good comes out and beats the boss for you, and mm-hmm. Yeah, it works.
Also, there's no repercussions to death. You have...
Well, past a point.
Well, it's... No.
It's just time.
Yeah, it's just time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you have... Sure, oh, I died. I lost my XP because I wasn't at a bonfire. Okay, so just grind some more. Yeah. Like, you have infinite experience available to you. You'll beat the game eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Keep on...
We keep on. Nobody was waiting for you.
I thought somebody was looking at
no,
us.
No, you think...
No, there was not all about somebody who posted a Dark Souls role or cosplay. That's not going to work.
Yeah, well... See, that's what I wanted to happen. The Lady Elena cosplay from Comic-Con was the greatest cosplay, by the way.
Well, no, there was a Dark Souls cosplay, and all the person did was just, he would walk up to people, challenge them to a battle, and then immediately start rolling around.
There were many great videos of people just looking at him like, what?
Did you see the Lady Elena cosplay, though?
No, I didn't.
The Queen of Thorns from Game of Thrones, the old lady...
I don't know her. I don't know.
The Tyrells.
Yes.
The grandma. The badass old lady.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yes. Yeah, the old gal. Yes.
Yes. Yes. There was cosplay of her wearing the Deal With It glasses from, like, the memes and saying, like, I did it with a little sign and whatever. It was great.
Yes, I have seen that. Yes.
If you're a little old lady in a wheelchair, that's a good choice for cosplay. That or Crossplay Professional X. There were elves in my professor for no good reason. Professor.
Oh, I just realized that my warrior is blocking the view of your mage.
That's fine. He's tanking. He's tanking. That's his job. That's he's blocking LOS.
So this is how I beat Final Fantasy I, is I brought a black mage with me to cast haste onto my warrior before he died. And then my warrior had either some kind of healing mace or something on him with attack
time. Just smack and heal himself. Sure,
and that's how I killed off, was it Chaos?
Yes, Chaos.
Chaos was the final boss? Yeah. And that's how I beat Chaos. It was a lot of him adventuring off on his own, and then me resing the party, and then the rest of the party dying, and then him just wandering off by himself, killing everything.
But did you beat the War Mech?
I don't remember. That was
you just gotta walk back and forth on the bridge until Warmech shows up. I would
the first time I played that game, I got the Warmech unintentionally and was like, oh my god, how do I beat this? And I went back, I had to level up so I could beat the Warmech.
And then he didn't show up
then I walked in and I like one shot or a two shot chaos and I was like, wait, something's weird.
I'm over leveled. I would intentionally have Rydia turn the rest of my party into frogs and then just solo the moon. Because she's awesome. Spoiler, you go to the moon.
Okay. I'm still working through Final Fantasy IV right now.
That's the one. Never mind.
Is that rather good?
That literally is Final Fantasy IV.
Yeah. Well, hey, here I am being unintentional again.
How far into Final Fantasy IV are you?
Not very far.
Not very far, no.
Have you done anything?
Nope.
You haven't even left the first town?
I haven't gotten to the first town.
So have you watched the opening credits?
No, I left the castle.
So you had not even a battle, nothing.
No, there was a battle at the beginning to prove that Cecil is awesome.
Okay.
Cecil.
It's Cecil.
It's like Cecil Fielder.
No,
Cecil B. DeMille's.
That's Cecil.
It is Cecil B. DeMille's.
That one's Cecil. Fielder is Cecil.
Yeah, you ready for your close up?
Cecil Cooper.
Dylan pronounced it Cecil.
Second baseman for the Brewers, I think. I think it was second baseman. Where's the
Prince Fielder?
Prince Fielder was the first baseman. Cecil Fielder?
Cecil Cooper.
Cecil Fielder.
D.B. Cooper?
D.B. Cooper. Versus Bigfoot.
Wait, D.B. Cooper is Bigfoot?
Yeah.
No, you watch Red Letter Media. One of the one of the best and worst videos they watched was D.B. Cooper versus Bigfoot.
The
director... Mm-hmm. is obviously a homosexual.
Sure.
Nothing wrong with that. No. But he is, it's the blatant sleazy, the guys who do movies and just remember how Michael Bay made Megan Fox wash his car for her audition for Transformers because all he wanted to do was point a camera at her and masturbate. This guy's movies are all just seven 20-year-old dudes not wearing shirts for an hour and a half. And then he slaps Bigfoot on the cover and releases it in a movie. It's amazingly shameless.
This is sub-asylum.
Yeah, it is sub-asylum. It's literally he just goes on Craigslist, gets a bunch of hot guys to walk around shirtless for an hour, and then adds D.B. Cooper and Bigfoot fighting at the end and releases it direct to DVD. It's kind of magical.
Is kind of magical.
Is that a recent one? Because
a half dozen episodes back.
A lot of Best of the Worst.
It's a half dozen episodes back. It's got a guest on it. It's got a... I don't remember who's on it, but whatever. Yeah, D.B. Cooper versus Bigfoot.
I can't think of their guests right now, but they usually have what's-his-name from that did the movie Max Landis.
Sure, yeah.
They usually have Max Landis on there.
Yeah. I don't like Max Landis.
You don't like Max Landis?
He's all right. Oh. Was Cecil Fielder the one who tried to kill the queen? That was Cecil Fielder, right?
Naked Gun?
Not Naked Gun.
Who tried to kill the queen?
No.
OJ?
Daryl Strawberry. No.
It wasn't Daryl Strawberry. Daryl Strawberry is a really skinny guy.
Reggie
Jackson?
Jackson, yes. It was Reggie Jackson tried to kill the queen.
I must kill the queen. You know how funny
it's Enrique Palazzo. it's my favorite joke in the history of cinema by far. It's such an amazingly brilliant callback to such a pointless joke.
When I first watched Naked Gun, it was super weird seeing O.J. Simpson as not what he is now.
A serial killer?
Yeah.
Or a mass murderer, sorry.
I have no memory of him as anything other than this...
Evil? Mass murderer?
Yeah. As being O.J. Simpson, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He is the direct responsibility for why we know the Kardashians.
It's just it is crazy seeing him being this lighthearted, fun cop guy. It's just super weird.
It was really sad when he decided to murder people.
Yeah, I mean, he was a decent actor. I mean, his stuff that was in there... and
for an athlete-turned-actor, yeah.
Yeah.
He was great in that Hertz commercial.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I remember him being in his Hertz commercial.
You know what's really weird is how
and the naked
how well, old naked that gun, movie yes. is, and the queen is still relevant.
Yeah, to that day. Specific queen.
Yeah, that specific queen. It's not a different queen, but it's a different. It's the same queen.
I think she's hanging on just to spite.
Poor Charles.
Charles. Yeah.
Well,
could I? Now I'm gonna rule forever.
Isn't she the longest serving British monarch and in the top five longest serving monarchs ever?
Yes.
She passed Queen Victoria
last year.
Yeah. It was like last year. Mm-hmm.
I'd say, and like three of the people ahead of her were like child royalty too. So, you know, she actually started when she was 21 and she's still almost caught up to them.
Yeah.
She's going to get there.
Yep.
And she's still awesome.
Yeah.
She'll just show up to like random weddings because she's the queen. What are you going to do? Like, that's amazing. Like, if I was a queen, I'd do that shit.
Yeah. She's like, I was bored today. I'm going to go to a wedding.
Well, like, what do you mean like, the queen crashes your wedding?
Or the people like jokingly invite her and then she'll be like, yeah, let's go. And then she doesn't tell them. She just shows up.
Like, the queen's here. We don't know what to do.
Speaking of kings of queens, I got to see the king this weekend.
LeBron James? Elvis?
No. Stan Lee.
Oh, yeah.
I went to Comic-Con. I got to see Stan Lee and a couple other things. Walked around.
And that wrestler lady.
Yeah, I saw Becky Lynch.
Becky Lynch, that's
right. Yeah, she was actually the first thing I saw when I got there.
She's a person, not a thing, man.
Panel that I saw when I got there was her panel. Because when I went there, it was like about 12 o'clock, and it was like her panel started at 12 o'clock. Spoiler, it didn't start at 12 o'clock. As
what?
All
what?
The panels did start at when they were supposed to start.
A large event didn't manage to hold itself on time?
What?
Yeah, it was like a good 15 minutes.
This is unbelievable.
So the worst part about going to go see Stan Lee is I got into the place there early. The place was held in the arena outside of the Alliant Energy Center. And the arena on the outside is really for like horses and stuff, where you know your parade around horses there. So it was like 95 in that building.
Jesus.
So you figure if you're going to bring somebody like as old and frail as Stan Lee into a building.
Someone who is 95 shouldn't be 95.
Shouldn't be in that type of building because we were dying in there.
Yeah, but don't like old people like catch cold a lot? Like maybe the temperature is good for them.
Not that much temperature.
Probably not that much temperature.
It's like mummies need it to be dry and hot so that they don't like decay.
Except for it's like the humidity is so high anyway. So sure. You're not going to dry. You'll just decay.
He's like a cigar.
Wisconsinites complaining about humidity. It's great.
Hey, when it does get 100% here, it sucks.
Hey, I've been to Houston in August, okay? So I know how bad it can get. That doesn't mean it's not humid at 90.
Yeah, I've been in July? Florida in May. Mm-hmm. And that sucks.
Yes.
The funniest thing about Houston in August is watching tourists foolishly try to use the water fountain to drink.
Because
that is a rookie mistake. Because that water comes out like 130 degrees, Jake.
Holy crap.
Like, you are not helping yourself.
No.
Oh, my God.
No matter how long you run it, it's just going to stay warm.
Yeah, it's like, ow. Like, I'm itchy. I better just, like, rub my face against knives is what you're doing. Like, you're not solving the problem.
That sucks.
Yeah, don't drink from the bubbler in Houston in August.
They don't have bubblers in Houston.
They can call them whatever they want to call them. That doesn't mean they're not bubblers.
They're not bubblers.
No, they're not.
I will accept fountain, but not water fountain. A water fountain is a decorative thing that you have out front of a building.
In fairness, in Houston, they are decorative things.
That is true. You should not use them for decoration only, like plastic fruit. You could eat it if you wanted to, but you shouldn't.
Yeah,
it's just not a bubbler.
Water fountains are made for money and for peeing when you're drunk.
Yeah.
There are a lot of other weird interesting things in Houston. Like last time I was there, I went to a game shop and they had a picture of Will Pagani on the shelves.
Ugh. That's almost as bad as a Texas game store actually having Will Pagani there.
If I owned a game store, I would have the one picture of Will that his face is like that. But I would then put that on my bubbler with the water coming out of his mouth.
Yes. How come they don't have like little boy peeing bubblers like they do for the gargoyles on buildings?
Oh, that's such a great movie. I love Gargoyles. The Money Pit.
Oh. Okay. Where did that come from? Let's draw a diagram here.
No. No, because while his house is being renovated, all right, I have a pretty good reason for this. Anybody who knows the Money Pit knows this thing, too. Damn it.
Was that a sentence?
Yes,
that was not a sentence.
That was a sentence.
No, it wasn't.
Everyone knows the Money Pit knows this thing, too. Tom Hanks had to go down to the little water fountain that was down in their backyard that had a little boy peeing, and that's how they had to get water for their house.
Kay.
Okay. We'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
Have you not seen the Money Pit?
I have, but I have. It was over 20 years ago.
You need to watch it again. It's part of the classic 80s Tom Hanks amazing films.
I just remember underappreciated ones like The Burbs.
I just only remember him trapped in the floor, like in a rug.
Yes.
Yeah. That's all that happens in that movie, as far as I know.
There's that PlayStation 4 VR commercial that has something similar to that, where it's like somebody's sinking in there immersive, to be like an immersive situation.
Yeah.
I want to have a hard cut from that, going straight to Tom Hanks and Money Pit, with him like throwing money, like with like little paper airplanes out of the money that he has in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Money Pit is awesome!
Is it better than The Burbs?
No!
Is it better than Bosom Buddies?
Oh, yes.
Is it better than Joe vs. Volcano?
Yes.
No. I love Joe vs. Volcano.
If we're jumping around here, So Money Pit is not better than The Burbs, so my new top is The Burbs. So
okay, with that. All right.
And Burbs is most definitely better than Joe vs. Volcano.
Okay.
The speech
is Money Pit better than Joe vs. Volcano?
Yes.
Strong disagree. I love Joe vs. the Volcano.
Joe vs. the Volcano has an amazing sequence when he quits his job at the very beginning, when he's talking about how the fluorescent lights are sucking the life out of everyone there. That speech there is amazing. The rest of the movie is kind of...
He fights a volcano.
Ah.
Like in hand-to-hand combat, right?
This is Walter!
I've never seen it. I've always seen the cover.
Yep, that's exactly what happens at the end. It's pretty great.
Nathan, this is Walter.
Walter Sobchak? He's not in that movie.
No, but he's in The Burbs.
Walter Sobchak is in The Burbs?
No, not Walter Sobchak, no.
Oh, okay. Is it nothing but trouble? There's your deep cut movie.
Wow.
That's not Tom Hanks, though. That's Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd.
That's one of the worst movies ever made.
So my parents once picked that up.
Humpty Hump is in that movie.
And John McCain. Candy's terrifying in that movie.
So, my parents was about a small town, Kentucky.
Yeah. It's Pennsylvania.
Is it Pennsylvania?
Yeah. It's Pennsylvania.
It's about Dan's parents, apparently.
Well, my parents once picked that up going, this movie has a lot of good actors and actresses in it.
It has to be good.
And we watched it all. Yeah. And it was terrible.
Yes. I've watched it multiple times.
Why?
Because it's hypnotic.
It gets better. We then White Elephant gifted to someone and then got it back.
Like, it's so inscrutable that, like, I've watched it again, be like, why are there mutants in there? Like, what are those two twin Tweedledum monsters? And why do they have a roller coaster? And
I did that.
We spent the entire second half of the movie going, why aren't we turning this off?
I did that rewatching it repeatedly, even if it's terrible, with Neo Yokio recently, which is the craziest thing I've
Neo
ever
seen. Neo Yokio? Oh,
it is Jaden Smith's new anime.
It's not Neo Tokyo?
It's Neo Yokio, because like New York and Tokyo are like one city in this world. Okay. But they drive to New Jersey. It's really weird. It's a Jaden Smith it's a Jaden Smith anime where he says, hold on. It's a Jaden Smith anime where he says, I don't care what time it is, the future is in a terminal abyss of total whackness. Like, the show makes no sense.
How do you join New York and Tokyo?
But then still keep New Jersey.
Well, I don't even need New Jersey. I don't know how many, I don't know if you could name two big cities that are further apart than New York and Tokyo. They might literally be opposite sides of the planet.
Delhi's further from New York.
Yeah, London and Sydney.
Sure.
And Sydney as well.
But it's pretty damn close, to, like, hemisphere-wise. Like, obviously, you're tilting down northern to southern as well. But just going east versus west?
Shanghai.
Okay. Seoul? Fine, we can keep doing this.
Okay, what's on the other side from Moscow? Now pick Chicago and tell me what's on the other side of the planet from there. Otherwise, I had a fucking point that was understandable that we were driving to. I don't want you to name two random cities for the next hour and a half. The fucking point is,
but our ratings
very
will go
few
up.
Of those possible city pairings will be further apart than New York and Tokyo, which is the one pairing that is at the center of a plotline of a Jaden Smith anime. How do those cities merge, given that they are, albeit not as far apart as whatever the fuck you said, are far apart?
Jake.
Regardless of that...
No, regardless.
Hold up, I want to know the logistics.
There's a couple more points that need to be made for you to fully understand.
No. You can make those points after. I want to know specifically how you get Tokyo and New York to merge.
Weeblos.
Let's go ahead and just check Jaden Smith's Twitter account, and we can see what the most sane thing we find is, and it's probably buried deep.
May the record show
that
the defendant is deflecting and refusing to answer the question.
I don't know. Maybe, like, they don't even talk about...
You watched it multiple times!
I did! It makes no sense!
You have told me! You said that you've watched it multiple times!
Arctic Circle is correct. He writes, because it's of the Smith factor, and it is entirely because Jaden Smith is involved in this. It makes no sense.
Don't break it. I know you really want to hurt...
Break
me.
It!
No, I know you want to hurt Jake, but don't break that.
Yeah. No. Also, Not Including Nick, yes, it does exist on DVD. That's how I watched it.
Jaden Smith's robot butler is played by Jude Law. And Steve Buscemi is in the anime. The whole thing is insane.
As himself?
Wait, he's a self-insert. He's a self-insert in his own anime.
Steve Buscemi?
Is that Steve? No, Jaden Smith.
He basically is just Jaden Smith.
Does he wear the white Batman outfit?
Unfortunately, no, but I hope they bring that into season two.
Oh, it's a series?
It's a series.
Oh.
Yeah, six episodes. First season dropped Friday, and I've watched it twice now.
Why?
Because it makes no sense.
It's maybe you're just bad at watching stuff because you don't even know how the central premise of the show.
It's not the central premise of the show. He is a magistocratic exorcist. And it's his sacred duty. You jackass.
Magistocratic.
Magistocratic exorcist.
Magistocratic.
Okay. Exorcist. He fights demons that take control of Chanel suits. May Coco Chanel's name be blessed. These are all direct quotes from the show.
But how do the cities merge? Like, where is the city? So the city's in New York, obviously, because they drove to New Jersey. So
and the Hamptons.
Did Tokyo just blow up and so everybody moved to New York? Or did they, like...
It's kind of like...
Did they, like, carve out the city and transport it on boats?
I think... Again, nothing's really clear in this. I think it's kind of like Big Hero 6, which is just like Tokyo and San Francisco became one city over time. I think they picked up Tokyo and just put it in North America. As far as I can tell, most of New York City's underwater, and there's underwater townhouses. They're all quite lovely.
But is most of New York underwater, or is most of Tokyo underwater?
I think it's mostly the New York stuff. There's a lot of...
So Tokyo, the island, is floating above underwater New York, and that's Neo-Yokyo?
As far as I can tell, there's just a bunch of cherry blossom trees, and that's all they brought
Japan
over.
Japan is just a boat now. They just drive it around the world, and they just actually ran it into New York.
It's on Netflix.
Okay, that makes sense, then. That makes sense.
That is the most likely explanation we've come up with so far.
That Japan is a boat? I don't know.
The show is really terrible, but it's also like hypnotically bad.
Yesterday somebody told me that America has a bunch of subs underneath North Korea just waiting to sink it. And I tried to explain the geography of that and the geology of that. And they were like, no, the boats are just under North Korea just waiting to sink it.
Have you seen The Core?
Yeah, that's a documentary.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen to North Korea.
When we sink it. With our boats that are under it.
Yeah, with those cool drill things. Drill machine boat things.
Toga.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Sorry.
Yeah, somebody should... Wait.
Congratulations, Germany! Deutschland, Uber, alles. 50% of me is very proud.
I
they almost queen sweeped it.
I was going to say, this is Wisconsin. We're all German here.
Or Norwegian.
Nope.
Norwegian, yeah. Well, you're not
a Wisconsinite, you fucking interloper.
Neither is him.
Neither is him. I'm not even going to bother correcting that one.
Jake, what's your degree in?
English literature, not English composition.
That's why he talks like Chaucer. That's Jake's problem, is that he thinks in Old English.
I'm sorry, I'm going to send Michigan State another letter complaining about the quality.
Y'all fucked up.
But yeah, Germany won Guild Ball team, they won WTC team, and they almost won WTC solos.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They came in second for the solos.
All right, so... Let's
somebody
see.
Got all the stats in that because it happened earlier today is when everything ended. Yeah. About 6 hours earlier?
Ish.
I don't know if you guys had a chance to watch the stream of it, but they did a great job. They really did. Like
they had a couple of the Muse guys doing... I saw that...
Well, they only had one
by the end of it.
Oh, really? Oh,
both John and Keith were playing.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Josh did a great job, though. Yeah. Everyone involved did a great job, and you know,
I like the shots, all the standstill shots that I've seen of Josh Maxim.
By the way, the Packers are in overtime. That's stressful.
So they get to overtime. Hey, they were down 7-21. So.
No, they got.
I told Raylene, I'm like, 21. Hey.
But they were down 17.
They were. Well, part of being down 21-17 is at some point in time you were probably down 14 or 21-7. But yeah. The point is, yes, they were down 14-7. That did not preclude being down 21-7. God, fuck you.
It's really stressful when that happens because Aaron Rodgers is on my opponent's fantasy football team this week. So I've been having a hard time just rooting for them.
It was just exciting when Aaron Rodgers threw that touchdown pass. It was just to the wrong team.
I'm winning my game. Yay!
Yay!
Anyway, yeah, so good job, Germany. Congratulations for kicking ass and taking names. We like it when you do it in games as opposed to in World Wars.
Did Germany play Poland this year?
They were expecting to, but Poland's just at a table and Germany just slammed down a Guild Ball match and beat them.
No, but they did roll into Belgium and just take it over.
Yeah. And they did play France and beat them.
You guys.
France had set up at one table. Podcast? Like, France was here, and they had a really good game going, and then Germany just played at the table over there and won. That's a marginal line bypassing reference.
Somebody was trying to get John traded to the French team.
Yeah.
Before the event started, because he was filling in for one of the Irish teams.
I mean, that was Karen, who was, I think, trying to get him traded. Yeah. Off of his own team to the French team.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, golly.
I'm looking at these German lists, and some of them make sense. Like their ret player took Virus to Griffin Spam and Assyria Shadows, and barely standard lists for those. And then we see things like Siege.
Yeah, dude, Siege is a baller.
Okay.
Which Siege?
Siege
1, because Siege 2 is not legal.
Okay.
Also remember that Siege 2 is unplayable garbage and does nothing for his army, according to you.
He does do nothing for his army, except for the handful of things he does for his army. That
was recorded on 8/20.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, we will
say
that.
All of us in attendance.
That's right there up with Kane 3 is a 40% win rate caster. He said to someone who, at the time of saying that, was 9-0, I think, with that caster.
Yeah, I was just going to run into someone I couldn't kill. I knew it was going
to
happen.
And you'd play against them 27 times to make your math right?
No.
We're going to set up a soundboard for the podcast now of nothing but Jake quotes followed by sad trombone.
Bum, 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 bum.
That would take way too long.
By the way, that's a muted trumpet, not a trombone. The trombone's just... Wah, wah.
Okay, well, I don't care about the brass
section. Way to misidentify your brass.
I don't care about the brass section.
It's like the one of the top three sections of the symphony.
String section or bust.
Overrated.
Percussion.
Yep.
Boo.
Percussion and brass. Fuck you. Boom, boom. Okay.
I'm not gonna get into a discussion about who's just creating pace. It's fine.
I want that as a t-shirt.
D-d-d-d-d, fuck you. Boom, boom, brah. Yeah.
So anyway, their circle player played Tanith in the 2.
Yep.
I keep playing footsie with Dan because his foot is everywhere.
At least it's not the foot with the dislocated toe.
Yeah, I kicked that twice now.
That's Jake who keeps kicking that foot.
My bad.
Xerxes 2, all of the Arcadons, and Rasheth 1 with a Winds of Death list.
Sure.
And the Signar player was Siege 1 and Achilles 3.
Siege 1 is like really good in two very specific matchups. I don't like him in just a solo.
Are those matchups things that you wouldn't play Kane 3 against?
Well, we can't really look at this either because everyone's choosing the matchups then after this.
Yeah.
I mean, lists are lists, but they're all... It's under a
that's why I was asking about the Siege 1 compared to... You know, that's what you have to look at. It's like, well, Siege only beats three things in the world, and if those are the only three things that Kane loses against, that's the whole point. And that are fed to him, yeah. Like, you can bring Kryptonite, you know, and Kryptonite does dick all to anybody except Superman, right? Or his cousins in Krypto and I... Whatever, fuck you. The point is, yes.
Yeah. Now, I like Siege into Ghost Fleet just because he has RFP... And
magic weapons.
Yep. I mean, it's Explosivo is a really good spell for him to have. I don't like him into a lot of other lists, and no one replaces the love in my heart that Kane 3 has.
By the way, how hilarious is Privateer Press? Like, Cricks, infantry spam, bring your guns, fight against Cricks, bring your guns, fight against Cricks.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
By the way, ha ha ha.
That was the funniest fucking thing that's ever happened.
Cricks immune to guns.
So, Jake, how have your multiple experiences against Black Fleet or Black Industries been?
The first one was
Cricks
really bad.
New theme force.
I did not pay attention.
It's not their newest. Their newest is a garbage Black Ogryn thing. But their second newest, the one that's in CD, it's you get free lights, which is great.
Sure.
And your heavies all get carapace.
Fuck that.
Oh, yeah, no, no.
La la.
Yeah.
Trololo. Bunch of heavy war jacks with plus four armor against shooting. Yeah, thanks for your Cricks drop, bitch.
But hey, at least then
there's been one thing that's beaten that so far, and that's been Mosar.
The Moby Cricks jacks, though. Mosar. I mean, like, generally Cricks jacks are 17, 18 armor.
Yeah, no, now they're 17, otherwise. 22.
Yeah, that's
or not 17, 22. 18 goes to 22.
Yeah,
or 22,
23. Scrub. I got one up to 25.
Yeah,
death jack. Put failsafe on it. It's 25 sure. against shooting.
What, his default is 18?
19.
He is 19, like the crabjacks?
Yeah. No, the crabjacks are 18.
They're not 18? I think they're 19.
Most of them are like most 17, 18. 17, for
so they start at 17, crabs are 18, deathjacks 19, inflictors are 19 with the shield.
Armor 25,
so
deathjack running around.
They just all have it? You don't have to have like any
all
other...
All your heavies
all
have
heavies gain carapace.
But not the Kraken.
Yeah, okay. Not a heavy.
No colossal.
I know.
Colossal.
But like a lot of people think that it affects the Kraken. Because
those people are dumb and can't read English words.
No kidding. Where is this new Cricks theme? It's going to be on Privateer Press's
it's
Insider
CID right now.
No, it's not on CID,
it is live on conflictchamber.com as well.
Go to the Insider that is last put up, and then click the little Insider thing. I think it's the one previous to the current one. The current one is about living pirates
Ogryn.
And Cricks.
Yeah,
and
okay. Black
yeah, the current
that
yeah,
one
the,
won't make sense until more stuff is released.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that was what I was looking at. It's well, like, right. Oh, this is kind of cool because I bet Gatsby 3 has play in this, and then I tried to put together a list, and it's like, no, there's
until more solos get released, that list is impossible.
Because right now you just have Garlock. And then the two units of Ogryn.
And Iakos are pretty much everything. Yeah. So every list I've written has been 6 points short.
Is it the living? So
it's living pirates.
Living pirates that are not Satixus.
Right. Yeah. So it's Ogryn.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
it's the Black Ogryn. Yeah. It's the Blood Gorgers. And
I don't know if
Iakos
they originally intended on it, but they realized that if they put Satixus and living pirates into the same theme force, it would just be Satixus anyways. So they split it so that there would be a reason to take all the new shard fleets.
Well, especially because one of the theme benefits there is you get gang friendly faction warrior to your entire battle group.
Yeah, it's gang fighter. It's Helga's field marshal.
Yeah, and gang. If you have Satixus, is ridiculously good.
Those,
well, yeah,
because
they have so many.
What's their faces
attacks.
Dead? The guys that come back all the times.
Revenant crew.
No, the trio, the guy and the
yeah,
ladies.
Devil Shadow. They are explicitly in well. And a friendly faction unit.
Oh, so they're
they are allowed.
Yeah.
And they're considered Cricks?
They're considered Cricks.
Yeah, yes. Okay. I knew.
Yeah.
So that's another. See, there's a little
which
smattering,
which
but as
your,
more stuff comes
yeah,
out.
Which means your Merc solo then is rock bottom. Because they're still privateers, so you money shot them, and then life is good.
Good times.
Yeah, that
money shot on those guys anyway is awesome.
Oh, yeah. I always ran them like that.
Yep. When I was playing Mercs, that was one of the things I tried to choose to play was the Devil Shadow with Rock Bottom and crew.
I can almost build my old Denny list with Nis and Iakos and them running around, but then I just ran out of points because then I have to take Black Ogryn.
Otherwise, as your Merc solo, you could bring Wrong Eye and have a Dracodile.
It's true. I'm excited. Hmm. I can actually recreate
my
Scavarus list because you take Crows and Wrong Eye as your Merc choices, and it works pretty well. You don't get any good Black Industries benefits from it because you only have two heavies, but you can take Wrong Eye, you can take Crows, you can take Deathjack. Everything's good.
Good times.
And fuck this.
It's Cricksmas. Suck it.
So we're coming up on the end of the month, so we should have almost all the theme lists up.
Yep. There's Insiders Monday and Wednesday.
Yep. I'm kind of interested to see what else they're going to do for Trolls and Signar.
Nothing.
Yeah, probably. But like
probably
if,
not, because
if everyone's supposed to get up to six themes.
Well, it's not everybody's supposed to get six themes. It's everybody's supposed to have everything covered.
Oh, I thought everything was
yeah, it's not
covered.
Number of themes. It's that everybody will have every model in the game will be in a theme force.
Cricks will have six. Kador probably will
have six.
They're
not going to give four more theme forces to Convergence, for example.
I figured like Grimkin and Convergence were going to be exempt from that sort of thing.
Rhett will probably have six, I think.
Probably.
At least five.
Yeah.
I mean, Rhett is the... I believe the second faction that's got the least amount of casters. I mean, besides
the
third
behind the
Of war casters, that is.
Mm-hmm.
Behind, yeah, there's one more ret caster than minion caster, I believe.
Is there? Even with combining them into one thing?
Yeah.
There's 10 there's
it's
10
minions. Minions
because minions
11,
was getting
11,
two
a
book for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they'll be getting some more, though, too, because they've got Barnabas.
Barnabas.
Oh, no, that's Barnabas.
Yeah, Barnabas, Barnabas.
Barnabas,
you can't decide.
Barnabas 2. I didn't know there was a Barnabas 1.
There wasn't. He got married and legally changed his name.
So you could so you could legally play both of Barnabas 1 and Barnabas 2 in the same 120-point list.
If you're awesome. Playing, yeah, 100 list. Yeah,
yeah. There you go. That works. They're not the same caster.
Yep.
Then you can feat with Barnabas 2 on Barnabas 1 and get a corpse token.
I just want Rorsch 2 so much.
You're saying it wrong. That was the other way.
Whatever.
I just want Rorsch 2 so much.
But he's delicious.
Rorsch.
I'm kind of surprised, though, after they decided to go level 2 for all the lessers, and they just left all of the minion lessers to...
Not a real faction?
They're a real faction.
Not a real faction.
They're only not a real faction. Rick is
the only faction officially said was not a real faction was mercenaries.
Yeah, and that was a decade ago, and two editions of the game ago.
Yeah,
not a real faction.
They're a real faction.
That's fine.
They have tons of options.
That's fine. Then it's all the better to beat you with not a real faction.
Yep.
Oh snap!
God damn it! I went worse too.
But I am surprised though that they skipped over those because they could have easily built up a Dahlia too and then give us a whole bunch of those tassel worms.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
Although probably, that's more complicated.
I said they
probably like Rorsch and Wrong Eye. You just go here. You go.
They probably just don't know what to do with the attached beast.
And honestly, I think Wrong Eye is one of the most characterful models I've got in the whole line.
I mean, honestly, that's the
Wrong
one.
Eye is the second most characterful.
I said one of the best in the whole line.
Like exactly. Brunn and Lug are kind of basically you could just turn Brunn into a massive manhunter and just call it a day.
Yeah.
Dahlia and Scareth, though, if they would want to expand into the tassel worm thing, just release another new caster, make Dahlia 2, and then we could have tassel worms.
Yeah,
it's so awesome. They look so cool.
So they would either have to include their lesser again with them.
Packers win.
Oh, good. Oh. They would either have to include, you know, so Rorsch 2 would have to come with Brine 2.
Mm-hmm.
Or Rorsch 2 would have to have rules that says may spend 10 War Beast points to bring Brine without, you know, something convoluted like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or just... fuck it, for some reason the Rorsch epic doesn't have Brine. Yeah. Like
is there anything in the fluff preventing it from, like, you know, Gator players have complained they don't have a character beast like Wrong Eye 2. He's now a character that can be taken by anyone. Like,
that's what I'm saying, yeah. Like, there's
just
and just give it, like, an elite cadre.
Did the Protectorate eat Brine?
Well, no.
I mean,
no, the Protectorate kidnapped Rorsch and Brine murdered all the tents in the world because they were hurting its boss.
Well, no, I mean, all you need to do is just have Brine 2 as a character war beast,
right.
And since nobody plays out of theme anyway, you'll only show up with Rorsch 2.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you just make it a character beast that has a bond specifically.
Either release them separate or release them together or release them separate like that with a bond, whichever.
Yep. That would be
even
really
even if you didn't
really
give me a Brine 2, just give me Rorsch 2, because he's the Kane of minions, and it's so fun. Dude, Dynamite's not cumbersome, Jake. And with the ROF changes, his Pig Iron just shoots. He's got 3 initial ranged attacks a turn. It's baller. I fucking love Rorsch.
And goggles.
I miss Kane.
Bah.
I need to go back to Signar.
Oh, Kane.
Just walking around WITC, done 20 minutes before everyone else. It's great.
20?
What was your...
Oh, wait, there was one time where I was literally just bored for, like, half an hour,
yeah,
45
you meant
minutes.
You were done 20 minutes after your game started.
Is it...
No, it was usually, like, 7.
Yeah, I say, was that
Well, then that's not 20 minutes before everyone else. That's an hour and 50 minutes before.
Dick, remind us what your record was.
2-2.
Okay.
Yep.
But he was done quickly.
He was done
every
quickly.
Time.
That's true. And one of those was this phone's fault.
Yeah, that sucked.
What?
Jake has the first recorded instance I've ever heard of someone's war room actually irreversibly crashing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Yeah, that was not great.
Everything went down. So Jake probably
iOS
had the most
Uber
wins per minute spent on the table.
King.
So that's
I didn't lose a single
another
game.
Reason to take cards, or at least just have them nearby,
or use an Apple
device.
Or
use a not an Apple device, a tablet.
Tablet with War Room is actually...
Never use an Apple device fucking ever.
War Room still
never had War Room
tablet.
Had a crash.
I've never had War Room crash War on Room my Android devices. On
my phone also has been dropped a lot and looks like it's been hit by a baseball bat.
Had issues of it opening up a PDF.
Well, everyone's had that.
Yeah,
also PDF viewers.
Yeah, I'm not even going to defend that part.
All you need to do is just download the PDF separate and then just use the search function on that PDF viewer.
$1,000 costing, no headphone jack, having goddamn piles of shit.
I mean, I will say War Room is annoying enough that it angered me enough that I wrote 30,000 lines of code.
Sure. You just wanted to be famous.
Fame.
I do like War Room for list building.
Works, I like War Room for playing the game.
Well,
on a tablet,
building,
it's fine.
Because it's not an app that's easily available. Like, if you had Conflict Chambers being an app that's easily available.
I hope
that
you could be sued. That ended well for Wiccan.
Yeah.
He didn't get sued. He was just told to take it down.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. He was cease and desisted. Mm-hmm. You know what the step after that is?
Whatever. Well, I mean, you know, the Forward Commander people just ignored that for 2 years and then they just disappeared.
Yeah. They were disappeared. Privateer Press just gets your ass murdered.
Oh, that's what happens. So when people are let go from Privateer Press, that's their last mission. That's when they go out like in Mega City 1, you know, when the judges retire, they go out for the long walk. They went out to find the Forward Commander people and killed them.
Sure.
That's what happened.
So the Angel Gang was running Forward Commander?
Yes.
Okay. That's headcanon now.
That's where Jackson was on his trip today, to Colorado.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, but he's not in Colorado.
Uh-huh. Oh, well.
Never go to Colorado, Dave. Yeah.
Well, that's no, Colorado is just where they say.
I mean, in
wait.
Fairness, Jackson.
That's a cover story.
Plus, Jackson will just get distracted by the cheese curds, anyways.
That's true.
By the way, Through the Desert app, or Through the Ages app, really good. Everybody should download it.
I can't. I'm told I'm not supposed to play it.
It wouldn't be your kind of game. Through the Ages is an amazing board game. It's a Vlada Shvatil game, so you know it's a good game because Vlada Shvatil is the greatest living game designer and possibly the greatest game designer of all time. Vlada Shvatil.
Shmatil.
He did Through the Ages. He did Mage Knight. He did Space Alert. He did Code Names.
Okay. That's the second time I put a Laverne and Shirley thing into the podcast.
Third.
Is it third?
You didn't even notice the other one. That's how subtle it was.
My one, yeah.
But, the point is Through the Ages is really good. It's the second highest board game on Board Game Geek. It's fun, and it's $10 for Android or iOS, and you can friend me, and I'm Radio Fan, and we'll play together. Yay!
Okay.
What's the highest on Board Game Geek right now?
Right now,
is it still Twilight Struggle?
No.
No,
that's too bad.
No, hipsters have to pick a new game every 3 months. I don't know. Are we just going to wait for Nate to...
You didn't have to.
Yeah, let's
look up what Board Game Geek Top 10 is.
Ooh, let's have some dead air.
I mean, I was hoping that the chat would just bail us out for us.
Come on, chat.
No,
where you at?
Nobody's listening to us anymore.
The current top three hotness is Seventh Continent, Pulsar 2849, and Gloomhaven. But that's like, you know, like current hotness. Yeah. Gloomhaven's really good, though.
Yeah.
Nobody needs to bother playing RPGs anymore. Just play Gloomhaven.
Okay.
I mean, I don't play RPGs. I just buy the books and read them.
Mm-hmm. I have enough exposure to casual D&D that I'm not interested.
I mean, that's not casual D&D. That's just 2 hours of torture before everyone else shows up.
That's also canned adventures, and
I just
No,
it's not canned adventures.
No,
unless there is a canned adventure where you go to a supermarket for an hour. That is not a canned adventure.
Those are canned adventures on Wednesdays.
No, that's adventures about buying cans.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, the canned adventures are later on Wednesday.
Yeah, you need to get
the
there
3 o'clock guys
4:30 ish for a real good time.
Have an elaborate campaign that has economic, you know.
Yeah.
Warfare. We go to food libraries.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. There was one. There was one day that I got there early because I was preparing models, and I decided that I could not suffer alone, so I had to narrate the experience to Jake.
Yeah. Yeah. You texted me for like an hour while I was just at work.
You buy supplies. You're like, we want a month's worth of food, and the GM goes, "All right, that costs 12 coppers," and then you go kill a fucking dragon.
Yes.
You don't spend an hour and a half debating the economics of rice versus dried fish versus fresh fish in the goddamn town you're in.
Show up early some Wednesday.
Unless you're these guys.
Oh, yeah. We know.
Yeah. This specific anecdote was with me there.
Aren't those on Wednesdays? I thought that was like the official D&D night.
Yeah, the 6 p.m. and the 8 p.m. ones are the official ones. The 4
p.m. is
the
4 just
the 3 p.m. is a bunch of
shit.
Yeah, it's a bunch of guys who can't find
it. Well, it's not even Space Finder now.
Yeah.
It's Grocery Finder.
It's a homebrew.
Yeah,
really.
I didn't know they were running Grubhub.
Yeah, that's what they're playing. They're playing Advanced Grubhub 2nd Edition.
What's my FACO to eat a ham sandwich?
Yeah. All D's and D's.
All D's? All D and D's.
Yes, all D's and D's.
But yes, those that don't know, Aldi's is a food ring.
Yeah.
But Deutschland again.
Yeah. But to put it in perspective, I have on occasion, well, actually, just about every week.
Threatened. No, you do not do it every week. Occasionally.
Just about every week, I threaten to make Jake have to join their
don't
group.
Do that.
I have a character sheet printed out.
Hold on. So
don't do that.
I don't want to really game shame, but that's what we're doing right now.
No. Kind of game shaming.
We're gamer shaming. Fine. Yeah.
Those specific people.
Those five people.
Okay. I agree with that. So
like Pathfinder and D&D are great.
Also, one of them almost took out my foot with one of their damn screens once.
Yeah.
So
I've debated just rolling Thursdays, the screens over there when I get there.
We have to deal with the magic guys down there.
So just bring a clothespin.
Oh, not
that's Yu-Gi-Oh.
Just for smell, no. But they are just about as bad as the D&D guys. Just with them talking, laughing about random things that I have no idea what they're talking about.
I mean, out of context, we make no sense.
Remember that Yu-Gi-Oh was banned from Pegasus Games when one of them shit in the corner.
I was not aware of the story.
Yep.
No, yeah, that's what happened. Somebody took a shit in the corner.
Of the bathroom.
Yeah, so I don't know if that makes it better or worse, because they were in the bathroom, the toilet's there, and they're like, no, I prefer the corner, and just shit on the floor. Previously, that same group of people had just left piles of wet clothing in the corner of the main game room. Like, they had stripped out of their clothing and just left it there.
Same crew that also clogged the toilet that also destroyed pretty much most of the gaming space?
I'm sure, yes. I remember Steve talking about he was at like a game store convention thing where like they talk about the business, but like an ACD Games Day, basically.
Sure, sure.
And these people behind him were complaining about the Yu-Gi-Oh! People in their area. And Steve was just like, yeah, we just banned them from our store. And the people are like, oh, you can do that? Like, yeah, just do that.
And they all went to Misty.
They shit on the floor.
Yeah, that's
animals. Literally. I think it was James was talking about this.
You know, I just need a clarifying question. Was this the adult Yu-Gi-Oh players or the child Yu-Gi-Oh players?
There are no adults that play Yu-Gi-Oh. There are just children whose bodies are older.
There is adults.
No, there is not a guy whose bodies are older. They are all 2-year-olds. In human,
they shit in the corner, Andy.
They have chuds.
In fairness,
I just got done watching.
In fairness, my 2-year-old doesn't shit in the corner.
Very recently, an episode of Judge Judy, which they had.
Why are you watching Judge Judy?
Judge Judy's amazing.
Judge Judy is the third best daytime judge.
Second best.
No, Mathis and Marilyn Mignon.
Marilyn Mignon is awesome. And then Judge Judy, then Mathis.
Mathis.
That's in the order I go. But anyway, Judge Judy had two litigants there. And one was suing the other one for stealing his Yu-Gi-Oh cards at an overnight party.
Because that's what children do, is they have sleepovers and steal each other's Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
I was hoping the story involved shitting in the corner.
Yeah,
I'm disappointed.
I guarantee somebody shat in the corner at their sleepover.
Yeah, I was really waiting for you, and then they shat in the corner.
Yeah, I'm disappointed with this anecdote now.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just saw it on actual television. So. But,
yeah, no, the side note along the lines of children is, like, you look at Pokemon, and Ash loses all the time, and he's a good sport about it, and he learns to try to become better, and he congratulates his opponents, and everyone's happy, whereas Yu-Gi-Oh! Is entirely about cheating and hurting people. And so that message gets across to their audience.
In the most recent season of Pokemon, there's literally a part where he talks about getting all the badges in Kanto, and then two of the other characters say to him, I'm pretty sure you got most of them out of sympathy, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. But yeah, whatever. It's a good message for the kids, as opposed to Yu-Gi-Oh, which teaches you to cheat and shit in the corner.
So participation trophies are better?
He doesn't get participation trophies.
Yeah. He, like, part of getting the badge is about... God, fuck it. I'm not going to reveal my childhood to you people.
I mean,
Most of this podcast was out of college.
Gary Oak has all the badges. Gary Oak's a winner. Ash is a loser.
Yeah, but part of getting the badge is about treating your Pokemon well, and that's how Ash gets them. And it's why he doesn't win anything for real, because he's a fucking loser. Although he did win the Orange League.
Remember that episode where James got breast implants to win a bikini contest?
Yep. That fucked up my childhood good.
Never showed it in America when you were a kid.
No, but we found it online.
Okay.
We'll see.
Because they're like, hey, there's this missing episode of Pokemon. Because it was that one and the Porygon one, which they never aired in America because they were worried about giving kids seizures.
Yeah.
And we watched both of them online.
Yeah, I like the air quotes around childhood Arctic Circle. Yeah.
In my defense, I was six.
So like last week?
Oh, fuck off.
The one that is childhood for me that left like a confusing impression was Flea in Chrono Trigger.
See, I don't know. I mean, I think as old people don't...
Chili Peppers, Flea.
Yeah,
it was indeed, because it was Ozzy, Slash, and Flea, whereas in Japan, Magus's three sidekicks were mayonnaise, soy sauce, and ketchup, I think. Soy sauce, mayonnaise, I think the third one was ketchup. But in America, it was Ozzy, Slash, and Flea. They were all named after Rocktards.
Rocktards?
Rockstars. There's something caught in my tooth. And the point is, Flea was a transgendered, you know, like, and that was just weird to have in a kid's game.
Was he wearing three socks?
No, Flea only wore one sock, I'll have you know. The Red Hot Chili Peppers famously would perform wearing nothing but a sock, and Flea wore his on his head.
Okay, why are y'all looking at me?
Thought you'd like a story about Flea's penis being visible. Ironically, the original story is about Flea having a penis.
It all
but it's just weird. Like, as a kid, I didn't understand what happened because there's, like, the guy sidekick and the girl sidekick, and then it was just weird. Like, American children weren't ready for that. Like, in Japan, they're like, yeah, whatever. Dude looks like a lady. That's normal. We have anime. But I went from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood to, you know, Chicks with Dicks. It was a bizarre childhood jump.
Yeah.
The point is, now I masturbate to transsexual porn.
Whatever makes you feel good.
Hollywood would
you
be
do
so
you,
proud.
Man.
Hollywood, oh my god. I have never permanently affected a human being as much as when I introduced Hollywood to Bailey J.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. Like, I haven't seen Hollywood in a while.
Well, that's because he went insane and everybody unfriended him and he left the War Machine community.
I remember seeing his post once in a while, but I think
you're not missing anything, but Nate, tell the story.
Story.
He is a very...
He was on a podcast.
Yeah, it was
actually on one of our Crippled System
Clusterfuck
podcasts. We mentioned it.
It was one of their Clusterfuck Palooza.
And I bring it up every time I'm on.
It was at a War Machine weekend where I showed him the which would you rather, because human sexuality is a very interesting thing. And there are two porn stars, Buck Angel and Bailey J, who are both very well-known mainstream. Buck Angel looks like David, but has a vagina, because Buck Angel is a biological female transsexual male. Bailey J looks like, you know, super hot model, but has a whatever number of inches wiener hanging down there, because it's exactly the opposite. And so the question for, especially for men like Hollywood, who are your typical right-wing, macho, lift
probably
weights.
Probably does steroids.
You know, probably does steroids. Very.
He's an alpha bro?
Masculine. He's an alpha bro. Alpha bro is a great way to put it. So you go to an alpha bro and you say, here are your choices. Which one of these do you go with? And that usually just kind of breaks their brain, but Hollywood, like, the light between his eyes just lit up. He followed Bailey J on Twitter because he fell in love with her when I showed him that picture of Bailey J. He followed her on Twitter. He just, like and actively would, like, tweet her all the time, like, yeah, whoa, doing great, Bailey. Like, became lead of her fan club. Like, I changed his life. It was astounding.
But then Nathan would be playing.
I was playing a game. It was the team game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm doing there. And luckily, my partner was doing most of the work that one, because I'm just doing whatever. And all of a sudden, a phone just lowers in front of me like this. And it was just, he had put on hardcore Bailey J pornography and just lowered it in front of my face to distract me from the game.
Man, you're just changing lives all over the place.
Dude, Hollywood
was great before he went psycho.
Correct. Well, I mean, because he... it was the election that did him really in. Like, first he started, like, selling some kind of cosmetics or diet supplements or protein powder on Facebook.
Yeah.
And that's always annoying when you got a Facebook friend who's trying to sell shit. You're like, fuck off. And then the election happened. And, of course, I don't know if it's just who I follow or whatever, but it seems to me that the majority of my War Machine friends on Facebook are liberal in general, because I think nerds tend to be in general.
I wonder how much of it is just being in Madison, though.
Facebook, I said. Oh, Facebook friends. I blatantly said Facebook friends. You know, but the majority of my Facebook friends seem to be more left-leaning, and so he was in the minority, and he got kind of dogpiled, because he was a very vocal, far-right-wing, like, active Trump supporter, and he got dogpiled, and then he went,
spiraled from
fireworks. He went kind of insane, now he's gone.
No, I mean, when I was active in gaming communities in Kentucky, it was a whole lot more conservative. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is just that we know a lot of people, not just in Madison, but in a lot of other large blue cities. And if you're gaming in redder spaces, it's a lot redder.
You tend to gather friends with people that you
like-minded,
share the same beliefs or same, you like.
Well, but I mean, that's the point, is like all of my, like, if you look at just the Facebook friends I have that I've caught through War Machine, it just for some reason seems to be more. I don't know.
There was one time we were at the shop and
it
looked like somebody was casing the place, and so simultaneously four of the people playing all yawned at the same time, lifting their arms up, showing the concealed carry weapon they had in their belt.
Nice.
Of course, this was also because we were pretty close to Fort Knox, and there's a ton of overlap between military guys and tabletop wargaming, and so we had a lot of people from that community there as well.
Maybe also it's because the Appalachians haven't figured out computers yet, so they're not on the Facebook.
No, that we weren't really in that part of Kentucky.
They're just busy making buttermilk pies.
The other thing is, too, is like all of the gaming communities I've been in have not been very religious. Like, I think I'm the only person who's like actively a religious person in any gaming group I've ever been a part of. And I wonder how much that informs it, too.
No, I think that atheists tend to be more vocal. There's a large number of very vocal atheist nerds.
Okay. Yes.
I think that a higher percentage of people in nerdy communities are religious than you think. It's just the fedora wearing, and they're not actually fedoras, they're trilbies, but whatever. They think they're fedoras, so let them think they're fedoras. But the fedora wearing atheists feel proud to proselytize like a motherfucker.
And we just stay quiet.
All right.
No.
Okay,
I mean, it's whatever you decide that you're going to worship and do. I mean, that's your thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm not trying to.
Well, not whatever you choose to worship.
Well,
like, try not to be like Mola Ram level human sacrifice Kali worshipping.
Well, yeah, that would, you know, just sticking your hands
frown
on that. Chest is another thing. Yeah,
I frown
that's
on
bad.
That.
I would frown upon that as well. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
but if they're not vocal about it, then I don't know about it, so then I'm okay with
it. If you are a non-practicing Cthulhu cultist, it's okay. It's when you're actually participating in the ceremonies.
Bringing
that,
up one of the old gods. Yeah.
If you're awakening elder gods, I
what if
you're
lapsed? What if they go to the service but they don't take communion?
A lapsed Cthulhu cultist, I'm fine with.
What if it's an election?
Yeah, no, like once a year they go and none of them. It's like Christians going to Christmas service, right? Like they don't remember any of the duties, so they just have to look at the one really old lady who's always worshipped Cthulhu to see how to sacrifice people because they don't remember the.
And really, they're
ritual.
Not actually saying their ritual. They're just kind of.
Those people screw the logistics of stuff so much.
And it's just like the Hallelujah refrain where there's like mumble, mumble, fatigan, mumble, mumble, mumble.
That is the best part of Christmas Mass, and people don't know the words, and all of a sudden they're like, Hallelujah! That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Twice a year, Easter and Christmas, just a whole bunch of confused white people trying to get in good with Yahweh.
Oh, that is the worst mass because it's the longest too. Like that mass triples in length because everyone has to go get communion. Oh, I just want to go home and watch football.
Yeah, God, stop inconveniencing
Jake the active Catholic.
Yeah. I'm one of the few really religious people here. Fuck church.
Well, no, like I'm one of the only people I know that like goes to mass
and hates every moment.
I don't
of
hate
it.
Every moment of it. I
You're
hate
Catholic.
This,
you hate
this
yourself.
This is how Catholicism works.
Yeah, kind of.
The other great thing about, you know, being Christian identifying going to church like once every once in a while is if you accidentally go to like church with family and they do the Lord's Prayer differently and you're never sure whether it's debtors or trespassers or sinners, you're like, who are we forgiving?
Yeah.
True story.
That's why it's easier. Just be Jewish. Cut your dick off. Live on.
I don't think they cut their dicks off.
Is that not how it works?
No, it's not how it works.
Oh, okay.
Zaffany?
Are we going to do a Zaffany novel? How do you feel about Catholicism?
No. No.
We wanted to be slightly less controversial.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about politics and kneeling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, actually, my grandmother was in a group my mother identified as an anti-Catholic hate group. But that's part of the reason we left the South.
Whoa. Well, then.
Well, the South hates Catholics.
Yeah.
The KKK
burns crosses in Catholic families.
Like, no, I don't forget that, but the KKK is like, we hate, you know, minorities and Catholics.
Yeah.
I did
go, because you don't count as Christian.
I did go to a Catholic mass when I was in the South for some reason. There's some godforsaken reason why I was there. And I just remember there was someone protesting outside saying that I wasn't allowed to be Catholic and be an American citizen because I actually worshiped the Pope, who was the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if Pope Francis is the Antichrist, like...
Was it Francis at the time? It wasn't Pope Palpatine? Pope Palpatine. Holy shit, that guy.
It was JP2.
Oh, okay. JP2 was fine.
He's caused me to lose quite a few games of Twilight Struggle. Fucking space the Pope if you're playing Russia.
Oh, no, do not waste
space. Space the Pope.
Is he one in Poland? If you're Russia, just don't fuck with Poland.
It's that one, and then the card that tags with him after he's been played can collapse the entire Eastern Wing.
If you're bad, just plan for it. You have bigger fish to fry. If you're wasting,
Middle East focused and Asia focused.
If you are a Soviet player and you are wasting your space on the Pope, thank you, because there are much more horrific things that you should be spacing, like fucking
Quagmire,
for example.
That first. I'm just saying, if it's an option,
the radio one, the fucking
the worst one is the one where it's shooting down the plane. That's a
U2 incident. Yes. Yeah, U2 incident. Whatever.
So,
yeah,
Jake, do you have this for the electronic version?
Air America, not Air America.
I have the electronic version. I just haven't been able to link it up because I keep trying to play against Nate.
Okay. Yeah.
But I just can't, like, on through Steam's thing. I just can't link it up.
It's Nate, one that lets the American player discard any amount of cards from his hand and then draw replacement cards, so he just gets to ditch all of his Soviet cards and redraw them. Yeah, that one's
it's real bad.
Yeah. Because then he just tries to dig to get the force loss from doing like a CIA.
Yeah.
Oh, look, it's technically your turn. Oh, why'd you launch that nuke? That was rude of you. I win.
Yeah.
Good times. Twilight Struggle is a good game.
Still angry for you.
I haven't played Twilight Struggle in forever because everybody I know kind of stopped. My brother, Adam, and I kept playing, but it got to the point I kept beating him, and he said the joke was on me because it stopped taking points away from his ELO ranking because me beating him no longer count.
I think the last game I played was the one that Brian quit after he clicked on a card and something else dropped down instead.
Yeah, I've never seen that. So either he just got a weird bug or he just misunderstood something that was happening.
I mean, Brian might have just gotten a weird bug, too. That happened.
It's possible.
But it was a really weird way to end that game.
It seems like an odd game where you have to, in a sense, level up to play it. From my understanding of Twilight Struggle is it's not really that fun until you played it against each other for a long time.
It takes a while
to learn all the cards.
Yeah. Yeah. Card knowledge is important.
That's what I mean by leveling up.
As long as you both know the cards to an equal amount. Mm-hmm. Like, early on, neither of you know the cards, and somebody will play, like, oh, play a random card from your hand, and I drew the thing that makes me launch nukes and lose the game. Well, what the fuck? And then you learn, oh, okay, so never do that. Yeah. And so once you both know and what's hilarious is that you'll learn longer and longer into it, because it takes you a dozen games before you'll reach the third era, you know, the late war, because you always lose in earlier mid-war before that.
Or
you're like, oh, look at all these new cards!
Or you play the boycott the Olympics card, or play the Olympics card and they boycott on your turn.
That's why you always headline the Olympics.
Yeah.
If it's DEFCON 2 and you play the Olympics on your turn, you are an idiot.
Yeah,
because the card literally says, does your opponent want to win the game?
Yeah.
And they get to answer yes or no.
Yeah. Well, like, that's just like one of those cards where it's just like, if you don't know the game that's one that can accidentally fuck you and you don't realize
it. New players will get caught by that interaction where if your opponent causes nuclear war, but it's your turn, you lose.
Yes.
Because the rule sounds like it should be whoever causes nuclear war loses, but it isn't. It's whoever's turn it is when nuclear war is caused. So things like the Olympics will fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I could get into the game.
It's fine. It feels really heavy because like the card knowledge and everything, but it's dicey too. Like doing the coup rolls and realignment rolls and stuff like that. Yeah. It's a fairly random, goofy game.
I mean, like, because you can, like...
One of the cards tells you to poke your opponent in the chest.
Yeah. There is also...
Kitchen debates.
Yep. The Russian player will poke
No, it's America. If the American player has more battleground countries than the Russian player, they poke him in the chest and score a point.
So Games Workshop stole that from them?
Maybe. Well, from real life, that was That's the only one in that one is the poke in the chest, because the Russian one should have one where if you have more battleground territories, you pound your shoe on the table and score a victory point. Is what they should
have. That's clearly missing.
Yeah. Did you throw a shoe at somebody?
No,
no, that would be Middle East later.
That would be Labyrinth.
I love that animated gif of Bush just dodging
them. I like it when the Pokeball reflexes. The Pokeball version one's good.
He had real good reflexes on that.
That's
one.
That's the weird thing is that it looked like Bush. He was used to this.
Yeah. Well, he's just like...
Well, there's an old saying in Tennessee. I mean, I know it's a saying in Texas, but it might be one in Tennessee too, which says, throw a shoe at me once, shame on you. A fool me won't get food again.
I'm still like somebody has mentioned it, so I'm going to put him up here, too.
There he is, right there. We did have a Zappity Grumble up higher.
We did?
Yeah, it was what B movie or lower would make a good sandbox game?
Not a B movie, though. That's not a very good film.
If you played as a bee and flew around
and then fucked a woman,
and just fucked a woman.
There is
movies about a woman fucking a bee.
That's true.
The hell, the logistics of that.
There's a game. I don't know what the name of the game is, unfortunately, but it's a cockroach versus man. And with the cockroach, all it has to do is just fly around a kitchen and eat food. Well, all the man has to do is try to kill the cockroach.
One of the older PC games that was a big hit was Bad Mojo, where you played as a cockroach. It was more of a puzzle thing. You had to, like, you know, figure out how to get, like, across electrical wires without getting electrocuted and stuff like that. It was really cool.
What was the Zappity?
A B movie or lower level movie make a sandbox game. Like, my answer, and I don't know if it qualifies as a B movie because it's such a beloved cult classic that maybe it's been elevated beyond that, and I think it's legitimately a good film, is Krull. I would love, like, a Shadows of Mordor-style sandbox game in the Krull universe.
I was going to say, what about
Krull has such great stuff. You got the Cyclops, you got the Fire Mares, those goddamn Slayers, the aliens. Like, everything in that movie is amazing. Giant fucking spiders.
Nate, quick question for you.
You need to see Krull.
Okay.
Krull is legit.
It's about as good as Ice Pirates.
Sure. Krull, it's Liam Neeson's first film.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's just young Liam Neeson, like, as a member of a group. You know, like, you have a main guy, and he's got, like, some thugs with him that each get, like, one line so that you care when they die. And one of them is Liam Neeson.
Neeson's.
Neeson's pieces. Take the fucking elephant. Reese's the point is, pieces. Krull is an amazing movie, and there's so much cool stuff in it. It should have been the next Lord of the Rings. It's Lord of the Rings with aliens instead of orcs.
I agree. I'm jumping off of that because you had a
ridiculously difficult arcade game too.
Yeah, and a board game. Like, there was actually a lot of tie-in shit with Krull.
You added to that. You referenced something else, and I would want a Rocksteady style Batman game with Darkman.
Sure. Yeah.
We have Zardoz as a suggestion, and I think that is a fantastic one. So we can have a.
Would you just be one of the cavemen just running around and guns would be vomited out at you?
This is a sandbox game. Clearly at some point there's going to be a banana hammock editor.
The most amazing thing about Zardoz is, like, most of us just know Zardoz by reputation.
One picture of
the
Sean
picture,
Connery.
The reputation. 90% of people who know Zardoz have never seen Zardoz, and when you finally break down and watch Zardoz, it is an amazing moment when you find out where the title of the movie comes from. That is a mind-blowing twist.
I didn't actually even realize it, like, right up until the moment. I felt really dumb.
It is well disguised. For a word we've seen a million times, like, you don't think about where Zardoz. It just seems like a gibberish word. And then in the movie, when they reveal what that title means, you're like, holy shit!
Yeah. For me, Big Trouble in Little China, I think, would be a really cool...
Are you Googling it, Dan?
No.
Okay.
I think Big Trouble in Little China would be a really cool kind of open world sandbox game.
Sure.
It's, like, a lot of cool stuff to explore. They did a good job creating...
Do that at each other.
They do a good job, like, creating a universe and, like populating it with some interesting stuff without ever actually delving super deep into it. So it's pretty cool, and I love that movie.
No, I still think a properly done Rocksteady version of Darkman would be amazing.
I mean, you can pick more than one.
Yeah. I mean, that's your vote. His vote was Big Trouble in Little China.
Everyone seemed to talk more than I did about it.
So I would talk more. He's literally said nothing.
I know. Well,
you wanted to make sure you said even more than he had said.
Yes.
Okay. Andy, can he talk now?
Dan can talk.
Okay.
Dan can always talk. Jake can't.
Okay. So, I'm struggling to think of a good B movie.
Oh my God, we went through the effort to give you a chance to talk.
So, I'm going to go with Canadian Bacon, because I think a sandbox game about a Canadian-American war would be hilarious.
Ah, Canadian Bacon. I love when the elite troop guy stubs his toe and they just come back and shoot him in the head because they can't be slowed down for him.
I was so sad. I was looking this weekend and that's not available to stream anywhere.
Aw.
I can't even pay money to stream it.
Ben Lang says Dazed and Confused Bully style, but that would basically just be Bully.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, it's just Bully, but with weed. Nothing but trouble. The sandbox game.
Oh yeah, Grand Theft Auto style.
Yeah.
So you try to escape from the cops.
Oh my lord.
The sheriff. Oh no. No.
Oh God, I just want to watch Kroll now. Is that on Netflix? I'm gonna check. Who am I kidding? I have it on Blu-ray.
I do not own Kroll. I haven't seen Kroll in a long time. Was Kroll the one that had the giant crabs in it, or am I thinking of Dark Crystal?
That's Dark Crystal. Okay. That's Dark Crystal. Kroll did have a giant spider in it.
Yeah.
Kroll's the spinning, was the five prongs.
No, I know the glaive. I mean,
that's the big take home from Kroll.
Yeah. Weren't the villains, not the villains, but weren't all the henchmen have, like, they were just like bodies controlled by worms?
No.
Or something?
No.
No.
I don't know what that was. The henchmen and Kroll were badass looking fucking alien monster stormtrooper looking motherfuckers.
I really like the bad guys from
screamed that noise they make when they die.
I remember that, so maybe that's what I'm thinking of, the worms. But I love the bad guys in Last Starfighter as well. My favorite scene in that whole thing is
those
is when the general pops up and he has his visor pop over and he goes like, "We die." All right, what do they look like?
I would just picture that's the Slayers in Kroll. It's just hilarious because you got dudes with swords and stuff, and it's like straight up Lord of the Rings wizards and archers and stuff, and then the bad guys have fucking laser rifles.
Laser rifles for life.
Yep.
There is no other Zappity Grumbles, so all we have is, unless somebody wants to say something in chat for Zappity
Grumbles. Yeah, come on, chat. Give us something.
Nope.
Come on.
God, now I desperately want a Kroll open world game.
I don't. The only way that that's going to happen, Nathan, is if a theater or a film company decides to remake it and it will be horrible, and then we'll get some really, really bad version of it. We'll never get the 80s version of Crawl.
Well, no, they'll do that, and then somebody will release a third-party skin pack for the 80s.
The special effects on that Cyclops were really good, too. Mm-hmm. Like, that eye blinked and everything, and it's good animatronics, because no CGI. That's all a live mask.
I believe that's all Stan Winston.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Stan Winston.
I really miss that. Like, whenever I've gone back and watched old films, not old films, like films from the 80s or the 70s or even the early 90s before they like made everything CGI, everything just, it felt heavier. Liam Neeson. More real. Like, I watch
Dead Center.
He doesn't look angry.
Liam Neeson right there in the back.
Mm-hmm. There he is.
Mr. Taken himself.
Mistaken.
Yep. Have you watched season 4 of
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Good old episode 6, 9, and 11.
I was actually surprised by the second to last episode.
What's great is rewatching season 4 of BoJack Horseman after watching the second to last episode of season 4 of BoJack, because everything Beatrice says is mind-blowing after you've seen episode 11.
Yeah, no, I've done that.
Yeah.
I was told by one of my friends to do that. I would not have thought to do it, but like, the voice actress for her deserves so many awards. Like,
that's Wendy Malick.
Oh.
Yeah. You say, oh, as if you know who Wendy Malick is, but yes.
Oh, I thought isn't she from Game of Thrones? I'm thinking someone else.
No.
Okay, not bad.
She's not. She was in Just Shoot Me, and she was the ex-wife of the main character on Dream On. Remember Dream On HBO? No?
Nope.
Yeah, that's right. You wouldn't. Most people don't remember Dream On.
So we do have a Zappity here. ESPN didn't work. What channel should the White House turn all the TVs on this week?
They're already on Fox News.
Yeah, for real.
I mean, we already
know Fox Sports. Fox Sports Network. It's basically Fox News. Well, no, that's, but, like, that, with
that's,
Don
what, that, that's why we. That's why we have all of this stuff today. Is because they've been watching ESPN.
Yeah, right. I did like that Trump made his official announcement. All of you should pro, you know, like blah blah blah, and then the NFL team owners en masse just stood up and said, "Fuck off!" Yeah. And it was just great seeing all of these official.
Except for Jerry Jones, who's still an asshole.
Well, I mean, I understand the protest.
That's
a... I don't believe that it's right for a team to fire a player because of a protest.
Yeah.
But there are reasons why Colin Kaepernick isn't actually playing for a team.
Yeah, he's nowhere near as good as Mike Glennon.
Well, but I mean, there was a lot of hassle given to that. But I mean, he may not just be.
I mean, Blaine Gabbert. Blaine Gabbert, basically the best player who's ever lived. Has he thrown an interception yet this year? Yes.
Has he thrown an interception yet this minute?
No, but they did blow out the Ravens inexplicably. Oh, yeah. Manning has a job. Like, how did that happen? Like,
Eli Manning's a good quarterback.
He has two
He's
Super
not
Bowl
a good quarterback
MVPs.
Anymore. He's not well, a good
maybe not
quarterback.
Anymore, but you got contracts and they last and people. You keep Correct. These legacy people because they still have spurts of greatness in them.
I mean, even if you're not saying Colin Kaepernick's good enough to start, which is fine. I mean,
he
you can make
have
it,
a job.
You can make it. You should at
backup.
Least be a backup. He like you cannot say he's not one of the 64 best quarterbacks on the planet right now.
He is definitely better than backup quarterbacks that are currently employed, and he is probably better than starting quarterbacks that are employed
correct.
Right
the
now.
The reason is, I mean,
Trevor Siemian.
He's not going to get a position as a backup quarterback because of the media attention. Because no front office is going to say yes, we're going to bring in a backup quarterback that's going to get more media attention than our quarterback. That's it. I mean, this is fundamentally
you're kind of going in. To the whole what's his face
Chris Kalou
he had a lot of media attention as well for just being a punter the religious guy
Tim Tebow
yes
who is also not as good as Colin Kaepernick
but I mean Tebow was backup level, but nobody was going to hire him as a backup because he would get more attention,
correct.
More media attention than a lot of the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And that just, I mean, no.
I mean, like he was a backup for the Jets and he was a backup for New England for a while too. Like he just wasn't good. If he was good, he would have made a roster. Like there are so many terrible players who make a roster that don't deserve to. And the amount of attention that would be given to Colin Kaepernick would be like, hey, he's kneeling. And for the rest of the game, they wouldn't care. Like, there's something else going on. Like, the only people who will care will be, like, right-wing media sites because they'll play it up to get traffic. So, otherwise,
and that's
all of them.
Yeah. Eli Manning has two Super Bowl MVPs.
I thought, what's his name? One, the other one.
No, he's got two.
Tackley Man with missing a couple fingers.
Michael Strahan.
No. JPP. I thought he won one of them.
No.
Okay. JTT?
JP.
I loved him in Home Improvement.
Beautiful. Yeah. I thought Crabman won the second one, but
Chad at the Tater Thomas is a national treasure. Do not call him Crabman. Remember him in Saving Christmas?
No.
Okay.
I don't know who Jonathan Taylor Thomas is.
He was in Home Improvement.
That show ended when Jake
like
was
everybody
born.
Was all crushing on him. He was the like, you know, if you were a 14-year-old girl, you were all about JTT.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't.
Weren't you though?
You were.
No.
You were.
I was busy watching Pokemon.
You had episodes. You had magazines of
Teen Beat. Yeah.
I can't believe Eli Manning won two MVPs. I thought for sure one of the defensive players.
It's almost like he's a good quarterback.
He's not a good quarterback.
How many Super Bowl rings do you have?
Hey, how many Super Bowl rings does Aaron Rodgers have? Is he a better quarterback than Eli? Fucking Phil Simms has two Super Bowl rings.
Phil Simms does not have two Super Bowl MVPs, though.
I don't care.
Also, more than one quarterback can be good. I didn't say better than Rodgers. I said good. And you don't get two Super Bowls without at least being good.
Eli Manning is no longer a good quarterback.
When was his last Super Bowl?
David,
I think
about
3 years
ago.
As usual, it's pretty recent.
It's pretty recent.
Huh?
Oh, 12.
2012? Okay, five years ago is a little time.
He's in the top three Mannings.
It's like him, Archie, and Peyton.
You crack the case.
He's tied with Cooper for last place.
DB Cooper? Bringing it back around!
That's a professional podcast.
D.B. Cooper, who enters the game via parachute every game. He just parachutes in and throws the football.
And then throws money everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
I will say.
Spraying money over the audience on his way down, like the Joker.
I would watch
that. I will say, it's like my only positive takeaway from living in New York is that I'm a Giants fan. And
is that positive?
No. I mean, it's not the Jets.
That's the most positive thing that came out of living in New York.
The only thing that's positive about the Giants is that Carl Butano-Onilowski is a fan of them. And I enjoy watching his things about that.
And Big Fan was a good movie.
But I would be surprised if, the way Eli has played last year and this year, I'd be surprised if he's got the starting job next year. That he was good at one point.
Who's the Jets quarterback?
Who cares?
Because Colin Kaepernick could have that job. I don't know who it is, but whoever he is.
Okay, the question is, does Colin Kaepernick want that job?
Yeah, the thing is, though, too, is like some of the players...
I wouldn't. Unemployment's got benefits.
There was rumors going around last week that the Bengals wanted to replace Andy Dalton as a...
Yeah.
The team players wanted to replace Andy Dalton as a quarterback.
I thought it was Timothy Dalton this whole time.
No.
Oh, he would have been so suave, getting crushed.
And then watch what happened at the Packer game today. And suddenly he got like two touchdowns like in the first quarter.
Yeah, one of them was to AJ Green, getting me 6 fantasy points.
See, here's the thing, though. He only threw 2 of the 3 Bengals touchdown passes.
Oh, yeah, true.
Like, Rodgers has only thrown one fewer Bengal touchdown pass this season than Dalton has.
That's true.
And before this game, they'd thrown the same number.
Correct.
But season to date, Rodgers is only one fewer Bengal touchdown pass.
That's almost
he's
a far
He's their
second
statistic. Best quarterback right now.
Yeah, yeah. He's the second best Bengals quarterback right now. Oh, my God. Remember when... Oh, fucking eight. They did a...
When Jay Cutler retired?
Yeah, they did expose about like the top Packers quarterbacks of all time. And Cutler was like number 3.
Yeah. When he retired, I remember Green Bay Packers Twitter just...
He didn't retire.
He did retire. He unretired to play for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
But when he retired, he announced his retirement. Green Bay Packers Twitter posted just I think it was like almost a 8-minute long video of him throwing interceptions to the Packers. It was like way too long for like what was about
wrong.
A
game. Wrong.
6 seconds.
It was
clips.
Just the right length.
Yeah.
I feel, and this might be controversial, but not as a Packer fan, I feel that he got the bad end of the stick for
Jay Cutler?
Yeah, for Chicago.
I mean,
he
yeah,
had no
now
fucking
we might
offensive
actually...
line for him whatsoever. He was running for his life all the goddamn time.
That is true. It's not his fault that he was a terrible quarterback.
He was fine. He's really
decent
quarterback.
But
he
when all had... you have is Urlacher,
right?
You'll...
Yeah. It's a Urlacher or
his stats. Like his stats are worse than they should be. Is my point,
correct.
And that's not his
correct.
Fault.
It's not his fault at all. No, he did really good in Denver.
I really was hoping he'd play for the Jets at some point in his career, because his combination of like utter indifference and the New York media would have really come together for something special. It would have been great.
That just reminds me of the most amazing game of football I ever saw, which was the Titans versus the Patriots several years ago in the middle of a snowstorm. And at one point, the Titans had 2 quarterbacks, Kerry Collins and Vince Young, who for about 3 minutes in the game both had more ints than yards.
Good job, Detroit.
All right. We should be calling this quits here.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Recommendations.
Yep.
All right.
Fucking announcements should have been an hour and a half ago. Fuck announcements. Stuff's happening.
Sign up for the ATC. Done.
Yeah, sign up for the ATC.
Sign up for Who's the Boss when I get the thing set up.
Yeah, do that also.
I just got notification of how much it's going
to
cost.
Sign up to buy my RET.
Shut up.
Shut up, Jake.
Send me mail on Conflict Chamber and I'll set up your tournament.
Yep.
Shut
do
up,
we actually have, you. Do we have to send you a mail at this point?
I don't have physical
mail.
Yeah,
like a strippogram.
Yeah, do that. Do
Candygram?
That. Yeah. No land sharks, though.
That's too old for Jake. He's not going to get that. Candygram.
Oh, this is a land shark reference.
A tie-in to a previous conversation we've had on many previous episodes, and it's come up many times because I feel very strongly about it. Final Fantasy IX this week was released on the PlayStation 4 in a high-def remastered edition. You can buy it. It's on sale for $16, okay? You should do that.
That's a fun voice.
It's really good. It was my Movies with Mikey voice. Anyway, So it's normally $20. It's on sale for the next couple days for $16. So if you're watching live or if Andy puts this up tomorrow, you might be able to get that sale. Andy specifically and people in general have many times say, ah, good game, but PS1 era RPGs with the slow loads and the whatnot. Well, good news for you. It has a button you press to make it go in super fast forward speed. So that protestation goes out the window. You can play the game in quick, fast, quick mode and enjoy the plot and the gameplay mechanics and the fact that it's the best Final Fantasy game and arguably the best PS1 era RPG that ever existed.
It's not Final Fantasy Tactics. I would die on that hill.
I don't count Tactics games as RPGs. Okay. I think they're too much more deep just about the strategy. So like XCOM is not an RPG.
Yeah, I can respect that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So as far as like, yes.
Final Fantasy 8.
And
nope.
You'll note that they released Final Fantasy VII HD Remix on the PlayStation 4, and then, of course, they released Final Fantasy IX.
Yeah.
They skipped 8 because 8 sucks balls and nobody cares about 8. And I say that as someone who loves 8.
I don't care about 8 either, but I do enjoy drawing.
Do not love 8. I skipped it when I collected it as well.
Final Fantasy IX is available on the PlayStation 4. It is a goddamn masterpiece. It was overlooked when it came out because the PlayStation 2 had actually already come out, yes. And then they released it for the PS1, and so people didn't care anymore. But it is fucking amazing. The characters are amazing. Vivi is amazing. The gameplay mechanics are amazing. The everything's amazing.
And Ben Lang agrees with you.
Ben Lang agrees with me, and Ben Lang is a man of high intelligence and good taste. And you have a fucking fast-forward button, Andy. You have a fast-forward button.
I have no excuse now.
Yes.
None. Ben Lang's got weird cats, though, too. Have you been over at Ben Lang?
And a wife who turns down free New Glarus beer.
That's true as well. But have you been over by Ben's?
Yeah, I've stayed at his house before. Yeah. We did it together.
Oh, yeah, we did that together. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. His cats.
They got goofy, squished faces. David likes.
Stop that.
David likes smacking his microphone, but he's the Brian of today.
Yeah, stop that. No, but his cats are adorable, but they have very smushed in faces.
Yeah, they ran into a door or something and it stuck.
Just full blown.
That's my recommendation, Final Fantasy IX. Okay, buy it. I bought it on the car ride home.
My recommendation is you should go out and watch Kingsman 2, The Golden Circle.
Okay.
That movie is amazing. What the hell? Hopefully that went through on whatever. If you answered it and it somebody heard what the hell on the other side. Kingsman 2, very good. It's a little bit overboard of action, kind of similar to the first one, which had a little bit overboard of action. This one has, I'm not going to give away a full plot of it, but it has Elton John in it, and it is the best part I've ever seen in a movie. Elton John is amazing, and he is a national treasure, and I love him.
England being the nation
that
he's the treasure of. Okay.
He's still a treasure.
So is he better than the Queen?
One would argue that both of them are queens.
Yeah.
I mean,
but the and A, although he deserves to be the capital Q. Him and Dame Edna from Australia. Is that the character?
I don't know. Don't know what you're talking about.
The pink hair, the freaking. So Bruce the shark from Finding Nemo is voiced by an Australian actor who is most well known for a woman character that he plays. And I think that character's name is Dame Edna.
Okay. But I would say that when the queen dies, that Elton John should be the new queen. Flat out.
Better than Charles.
Definitely better than Charles.
Yeah, that's Bruce the shark from Finding Nemo in his most famous role.
We should, go watch Kingsman. It's very good. I enjoyed it. It's very entertaining.
I'm going to say go watch Neo Yokio. It's amazing and terrible.
Bad recommendation.
It's not a bad recommendation.
And you skipped it.
It is a great recommendation.
I can't think we edit the podcast again.
What, to delete the Neo Yokio reference?
Correct.
Yes, I will recommend actually pulling out board games you've had for almost a year and never gotten around to playing.
What board games? Are you just recommending pull out board games you haven't played in a year?
Yes, I'm recommending actually playing board games that you bought and haven't played yet.
Yeah, like for example, if you buy...
Weren't we supposed to play Mega Civilization?
You buy Three Kingdoms Redux, or Redo, depending on if you pronounce the X's, you should, play that. Although people would be like, no, I don't feel like playing, and then they'll go out and play different games instead, and try not to take that personally. It's not that they don't like you, it's that they specifically don't like you.
I didn't play it because you introduced it as a work replacement game.
No, you're
game.
Fine. Yeah. Somebody else is like, TaylorMade would love this game, and they were like, nah. And then they went and watched War Machine instead.
I played War Machine.
Eventually.
I beat Jake twice.
Wait,
I
played War Machine who hasn't twice. Beaten Jake twice?
No, actually...
John Damaris.
I know the better part of the story, and I'm not going to mention it because it'll out the person, but I know which I know somebody there with had that conversation too.
I know many people. Like there are many people I invited to play that game. I've never tried harder to get a third player. Brian and I were going to play that thing, and I invited like 20 people. And
well, I know that Jeremy just decided that he was just going to go play Destiny instead.
No, but he played Destiny with JR, and I'm like, hey, you want to play? He's like, I'm booked. I'm going to play Destiny with JR. Oh. In fact, Jeremy offered to cancel his JR Destiny to play the board game, but that was just out of pity because of what happened. Sure. And I'm like, I don't need your pity board game. Just play Destiny with JR instead.
If it wasn't a worker replacement game, I would probably be up for it.
It's Three Kingdoms China. Who doesn't love Three Kingdoms China?
I love Three Kingdoms China.
All I did was call dibs on Shu, and I assume Brian would want to be Wei, which means you could be Wu.
But now my wife and I pulled out Zombicide Rue Morgue, which we had had since last Christmas and not gotten a chance to play. It was cool. So I recommend playing games that you have and haven't gotten around to doing.
I got Kemet.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
Mm-hmm. I'll buy my own copy eventually.
I also have Dead of Winter. As well, that would like to play eventually.
Yep.
But nobody wants to play it with me.
All right, Dan.
All right.
Recommend stuff.
Ken Burns has a new documentary out, Vietnam War. It's amazing.
What? Like a so Ken much. Burns documentary is good? Why, yeah. I never.
It was so good, I'm now a PBS subscriber, so I could watch the last 5 episodes last week instead of having to wait until this week. But it was really good. The music's amazing. It's Nine Inch Nails did the score for it, as well as they have a lot of period music, and it fits really well. It's very well done. It's 18 hours long. It's really good. It's hard to watch at times, but watch it.
Do they play Fortunate Son?
Yes.
Of course they do, because it's legally obligated to have Fortunate Son in any film that takes place during the Vietnam
about
War.
Ohio. Yes.
That is the end of episode 8.
Buffalo Springfield?
Twice.
Cool. It's like the Vietnam protest song is the flag bearer of the Vietnam War.
Yeah,
is Fortunate Son.
Think about music from that era. It's probably in there. There are 75 period songs, plus a whole bunch of original stuff that Nine Inch Nails did, plus a bunch of stuff, Vietnamese music. One of the coolest parts about it is they actually went over to Vietnam and filmed for a while, too, so they have their normal Ken Burns-style interviews with a bunch of people from the NVA Army and Viet Cong Army, too. And every so often, they have two people who are actually shooting at each other talking about the same battle from different sides.
I do like when the documentaries interview the people who are on the other side from us as an American audience. One of my favorite things I've ever seen was on the History Channel for, I think it was the 60th anniversary of D-Day, where they interviewed some of the German soldiers who were at Normandy, and it was just interesting to see it from their point of view. Like the one guy who was in a pillbox with a machine gun, and we think of those as this faceless monster that the heroes throw a grenade into, just talk about how he looked out on the water, saw infinite boats, and he and his friend turned to each other, and they said goodbye because they knew they were going to die.
Oh, wow.
Because that many people you can't fight. They were going to die. And it's like you don't think about the Wehrmacht as being these scared children like we think about our drafted men. I'm sure it's the same thing with the Vietnamese army. Literally children.
I'll say the trippiest thing was watching a North Vietnamese guy complain about the pointlessness of their draft system.
Yeah.
Hmm. Where can you watch this at?
It is on PBS.org.
Okay.
I think so. Episodes 1 through 5 were free last week. I now donate to PBS, so now I got access to the other 5. I think the next 5 go up tonight. They should be live now, actually, because it's after 7.
So it's like 5 each episode is about an hour long, then? Or approximately?
4 of them were 1.5. The other 6 are 2 hours.
Jeez, okay.
Ken Burns documentaries are real in-depth. Yeah,
it's 18 hours long. I got through all of it once already, and I'm probably going to watch it again this coming week.
Yet you didn't have time.
That was one of the reasons I didn't have time. You are not as important as Ken Burns.
Fair. I'd blow me off for Ken Burns, too. Blow me off, Jake.
Okay, just checking.
I said off.
Yes, he did.
I can't blow me. I've tried.
Just remove a rib.
It hurts. It physically hurts. I could not.
Blowing me?
No.
Nobody's complained.
All right, it's happening. Are we done? I think this is it.
I can't top
that. Anybody have any other recommendations?
Nick says Mother is worth catching if you want to see an Aronofsky movie that feels like a Danny Boyle movie.
That does not feel like
a
Danny Boyle movie.
And that's a weird sentence.
It feels like the weirdest version of a... God, I can't remember his name.
Aronofsky?
I'm blanking. I defend him all the time.
David Lynch?
David Lynch film. There we go.
So now, Aronofsky is like if David Lynch didn't suck...
Yeah.
Oh, hey, that reminds me. My wife has a message for you. She's still angry at you for Dune.
It's not my... You asked to borrow it.
I did. I also forgot to bring it.
That's fine. You can... Just watch it again with her. Maybe she'll like it better the second time. Lynch is so fucking terrible. Watching Dune, it's just like... I wobble back and forth between hatred and love. And
from you guys describing what happens after the first Dune book... David Lynch seems like the perfect director.
What happens after the first Dune book is a lot of acid.
Yeah, so he could direct God Emperor of Dune just fine, but Dune needed more just like a more straight face thing.
Yeah.
So fucking read Dune, you son of a bitch.
I'm gonna get around to it. Do you know how much shit you guys? Do you know how much shit specifically you and Marshall Wentworth have given me to just
and you've done none of it.
I can't do all of it.
Marshall's not gonna follow up on it.
So. Marshall will follow up on it constantly.
You can't say I can't do all of it when you've done none of it. You're making no progress. If I give you 100 tasks and you do 10 of them, that's one thing. But if you do zero, that you can't say, well, there's too many of them. If I gave you one, could you do the one? Well, then if I give you 100, you should have been able to do the one still, because obviously you could have done the one.
Okay, fine. I'll read.
Sadly, that's biblical. That is exactly a
Why
parable.
Is that sad?
Because it's Nathan. He took an entire parable.
Hey, and that's fine. Proverbs 18:6, man. The Bible's got some good stuff in it. Why are you getting, like, you know what Proverbs 18:6 is.
I'm just saying, yeah, the Bible's got some good stuff in it.
He doesn't know what that one is.
I don't know what that one is.
Okay. That's
I'm a terrible
guy. That's the one about waiting for the elected leader to vacate the office.
Proverbs 18:6 is when a fool opens his mouth, he's asking for a beating.
Oh. So David was right.
This is the word of our Lord.
Stone Cold 316 says, I just whipped your ass.
Stone Cold 316 is Proverbs 18:6. He didn't need to make up a new entry because Proverbs 18:6 was literally what he was saying.
I love how that whole thing came about, too.
The best was when I was a kid, I had a version of the Bible that had, at the top, it had like little stick figure drawings of like what was happening. Kind of like the Stations of the Cross, really simple, but for the whole thing. Like, they just show Mary and Joseph at the manger and stuff like that. And for some, in the Proverbs Psalms, that's the one, you know, they couldn't do all of them because there's 100 of them on the page. So they'd have like 5 or 6 at the top. And for some reason, I guess because, you know, maybe there is a loving God, one of the ones they chose for that page was Proverbs 18:6. So my Bible as a child had 2 stick figures. Like, one literally had a dude in a full Nelson while another one was punching him. It was like, the Bible's the best. They're wailing on this guy. Good times.
All right.
Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night.
Nope, that was not the right button.
Good night.
Delete all. Delete all.
And now we have to do the whole podcast again.